Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for Jesus who suffered on the cross for us. And we ask, Lord, that as we think about the motivation for sharing the gospel and loving the lost, that you will have our hearts be shaped by the gospel so that we would be people who love the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What are you willing to suffer for? Maybe you go to the dentist, you've eaten too much caramel slice, and so you suffer through the dentist for the good of your teeth. Or maybe you set yourself an aspirational fitness goal, like run a marathon, and you put yourself through hours of training, suffering early mornings and sore muscles for the glory of finishing the race. Or maybe you buy something that's flat pack and the instructions don't actually align with reality. And so you suffer trying to put this thing together because you want that thing that you've bought. What are you willing to suffer for? What are you willing to endure? Is sharing the good news of Jesus something you'd put on that list of things that you're willing to suffer for? Jim Elliot, he was an American missionary and who with a few others traveled to Ecuador to share the gospel with the Huarani people. The Huarani people were known for their hostility towards outsiders. And so there was a definite risk involved in going to wanting to share the gospel with this tribe. To start with, Jim and his team airdropped gifts and then they landed near the territory. But shortly afterwards, the Huarani people killed Jim and the team, spearing them to death. Was it worth it? Jim thought so. He wrote in one of his journal entries, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim loved people enough to want to share with them eternal life and lost his life in the process. Do you love the lost? Last week, we looked at how Jesus' glory should be one of our motivations driving us and our desire to share the gospel. We considered Romans chapter 1, where Paul summarizes his gospel, which he then tells us he shares for Jesus' sake, for Jesus' glory. Well, today we're exploring another motivation for sharing the gospel in 2 Timothy chapter 2, which is for the sake of the lost. But before we do that, I actually want us to look at Jesus. Jesus is someone who loved the lost. And there are two examples I want to look at. There's plenty more, but we're going to look at two. The first is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus has been traveling from town to town, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And then Matthew records for us, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, how does Jesus show his love and compassion for them? Well, the very next thing that Jesus does is he asks his disciples to pray that more workers would be raised up to join Jesus' mission of going and sharing the good news of the kingdom of God. The very next thing that happens after that is Jesus then sends out his disciples with his authority to share the good news of the kingdom of God. So how does Jesus love the lost here? Well, he preaches the good news of how they can enter the kingdom of God. The second example is the example of the rich young man in Mark chapter 10. The young man approaches Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus doesn't just give him a hug and say, "Well, you're a nice guy. You'll be right. Don't worry about it." No, this is what it says. It says Jesus looked at him and loved him. But then he said, "One thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." This man loved his riches more than he loved Jesus. And so Jesus, out of love for this guy, honed in on the very thing that was stopping him from hearing the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus loved this lost man and shared with him the good news of the kingdom. And then ultimately, this is a sneaky third example, I suppose, Jesus showed his love for the lost, not only by sharing the good news about himself, but also then laying down his life for us on the cross, suffering, dying for our sins, making a way for us to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus loved the lost. Do you love the lost? All right, here are two questions you might ask just based on Jesus's ministry to test whether you love the lost. Question one, do you have a desire to share the gospel with the lost, with those who don't know Jesus? The second question, are you willing to endure suffering so that you can share the gospel with the lost? Are you willing to put up with hardship and rejection, with the risks of being misunderstood or labeled as a fanatic for the sake of sharing the gospel? Jesus did, as he gave his life. But like last week, this sermon is not designed for us to feel guilty. We're not to think about these questions and just walk out of here with a sense of, I haven't been doing this, I'm just feeling so guilty, I'm not good enough. That's not the intention. Rather, it is to help us to look more closely at Jesus and his gospel, to have our hearts shaped by the gospel so that we might love others as Jesus loved us. So please turn now in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 to 10 in particular, but it's helpful first to put verses 8 to 10 in context. And it's a context of suffering for the sake of the gospel. Paul in 2 Timothy is writing his final words to Timothy, who's a leader of the church. And Paul is writing from a prison cell, most likely a prison cell in Rome, his last prison cell before he dies. And so in this letter, like in a relay, Paul is handing on the baton of gospel ministry to Timothy. And in chapter 2 particularly, Paul wants to ensure that Timothy is prepared for the suffering that will come with sharing the gospel. And so Timothy in verse 1 is commanded to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy is to rest in Jesus, to be dependent upon Jesus. In verse 2, Timothy needs to pass on the gospel, and the word used is entrust. The gospel is precious. It needs to be entrusted to reliable people who will teach God's word. Timothy is to do this knowing that he will suffer. In verse 3, Paul says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And sharing the gospel is not always going to be met with applause. We're not likely to become the good news story on ABC for sharing the gospel, because there are people in our world who have set themselves against Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, we learn that we're actually, in fact, part of a spiritual battle. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a hostility to people sharing the gospel. And it's in light of this hostility, Paul encourages Timothy to be single-minded in his devotion, single-minded like a soldier seeking to please his master, or single-minded like an athlete making sure that they play by the rules so they can receive the crown, or single-minded like a farmer who is doing the work of sowing the seed so that they can reap the fruit of the harvest. Single-minded devotion. And so it's in this context of suffering for passing on the gospel that we come to verses 8 to 10. Now, this is key. This is the thing that we need to remember, particularly if we're going to love the lost. Verse 8 begins with a command. Remember. Remember. Remember what? Remember Jesus Christ. We ought never to forget Jesus Christ. But how we remember him is important. He's not just to be remembered as an example to follow or a great teacher or a religious revolutionary. Now look at what it says in verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Now, for Jesus to rise, we remember he first had to suffer and die. And he did that out of love for us, as a sacrifice for us. Jesus, the God-man, died in our place to take God's anger that we deserve upon himself. He substituted himself for us, so we don't have to face God's judgment. What love. But death was not the end, and it is no longer the end because Jesus rose from the grave. Death is defeated. Like a bee without a stinger, death is now without its sting, because eternal life has been won in Christ Jesus. But we're also to remember that this resurrected Jesus is an offspring of King David. He's the fulfillment of all the promises of God. He's the everlasting king promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And he's been raised as Lord of all. Jesus is the one that we need to come to for salvation and honor as Lord. And so remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David. Remember, do not forget. This is Paul's good news, but it's also God's good news. They're one and the same thing. And it is this good news for which Paul is suffering in verse 9. Paul is bound, he's in prison, he's being treated like a criminal. But Paul says the word of God is not bound. If God saw fit this morning to have us all arrested and thrown in prison, would that stop the spread of God's word? No. If all of the Christians in Kununurra were arrested, would that stop the spread of God's word? No. If for some reason our government, like the government in the Maldives, decided that we cannot meet and all of the Christians in Australia were arrested, I mean, logistically, that would be a hard thing to do. But hypothetically, if that happened, would that stop God's word? No. Our world wants to suppress the truth of God's word, but God's word is not chained. It is not bound. It cannot be kept in a prison. God's word is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing the hearts of men and women throughout the world. Jesus is Lord of all, and it is good news, and it will not be silenced. Kill Paul, the gospel will still go forth. Kill Timothy, the gospel will still go forth. Arrest all the Christians in the world, the gospel will still go forth. Because the gospel is not just a human message. It's a divine message. It's God's message. It's a message that he wants us to hear, a message that he wants us to respond to. God wants us to hear the message that Jesus is our Savior and Lord and put our faith in him and be saved. It is not bound. It cannot be bound. And so if we're to endure like Paul, like Jesus in loving the lost, we need to remember Jesus Christ. We need to remember the eternal gospel. Our next heading is, why endure this suffering? Why would you endure? Why does not Paul just recant? Why does he just not say to the authorities, actually, sorry, guys, I'm not really interested in that anymore? Why does he say in verse 10, I endure everything for the sake of the elect? Verse 10 says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Why does Paul endure everything? For the sake of people coming to know Christ. And see, Paul knows that death is not the end. He serves a living Lord. And in verse 11, he goes on to say that if he died with him, we will also live with him. And he knows that God is faithful. And so Paul is living with an eternal perspective in mind. And he wants others to have that eternal glory with Jesus that he has. And so he is willing to endure everything for the sake of the elect. And so here we see Paul's motivation for the sake of the elect. Now, verse 10, I think, needs a little bit unpacking. Paul says he preaches the gospel for the sake of the elect. Now, the word elect refers to God's choosing. God has revealed to us in Ephesians chapter 1 that he has chosen who will be saved from before the creation of the world. Now, in the Bible, there are often truths that we have to hold in tension. Like the Trinity, for example. We believe that there is one God, and yet that one God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they sit next to each other. Or we also hold that Jesus is 100% fully human, while at the same time that he is 100% fully God, and they sit next to each other. Well, what we see in verse 10 is another one of those tensions. Paul is going to endure everything for the sake of the elect, for the sake of sharing the gospel with them so that they can hear the gospel and be saved, while at the same time, they are elect. They are chosen before time began. And we hold those in tension. And the way that someone comes to share in Jesus' eternal glory is through hearing the gospel of Christ. That's what Jesus did, wasn't it, when he was on earth? He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. That's what Paul did. He gave his life to sharing the good news of the kingdom. It's what we are to do. We are to share the good news of the kingdom because that is the way that someone comes to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And so remember Jesus' two examples. Why did Jesus focus on proclaiming the good news to the towns, to the rich man? Why did not Jesus just go and heal everyone and remove everyone's suffering and be done with it? It's because we need the eternal gospel. We actually have a much deeper problem than whatever might be going on in our lives today that needs to be addressed. We have an eternally significant problem. And if we don't deal with that eternally significant problem, it's like fixing the window of a house when the walls have fallen down, or fixing the air conditioning in your car when your engine won't start. We have this internal problem, eternal problem of our sin before God. And our sin, it separates us from God. It's not just a distance problem, but it's also a relational one, because our sin puts us out of relationship with God. And because God is holy and righteous, our sin deserves judgment. And so the gospel of Jesus dying in our place, taking that judgment for us, is the message that we all need to hear, we all need to respond to. We all have an internal, eternal problem that we need resolved. And that does only be resolved as we respond to Jesus and his love for us. And that's why Paul endures everything, because he lives with an eternal perspective. He knows the realities of heaven and hell, and he knows people need to put their faith in Jesus to be saved. And so we return to our question. Do you love the lost? Do you love them enough that you're willing to share the good news of Jesus with them? What would you be willing to endure to be able to share the good news of Jesus with them? The person that you're praying for to become a Christian, and I hope that you are praying for someone that you know to become a Christian. Would you be willing to suffer for them so that they could hear the gospel and be saved? Rico Tice, in his book Honest Evangelism, he talks about the pain line. And that is the line we cross, the line where we move outside of our comfort zone to share the gospel. Are you willing to cross the pain line? And the reason that Rico Tice calls it a pain line is because it costs us to cross over it. There's pain involved. We don't want to get hit. We don't want to get rejected. It's like, I don't know, maybe some of you have bought shares in the past. there's a risk with buying shares. It might work out. You might buy shares and the next week the stock market goes up and you make money. Well, that's great. Or a world leader announces a new tariff policy and your shares slump big time and you lose money. There's a risk. Well, there's always a bit of a risk when sharing the gospel as well, isn't there? We cross that pain line and maybe we get a positive response. Maybe the person we're chatting with is interested in finding more. Maybe we get an opportunity to share the gospel. But maybe we get a negative response. Maybe a friend starts to distance themselves from you, or a family member disconnects. Maybe someone from work overhears and they lodge a complaint about you with HR. Maybe the whole thing is just a disaster from go to woe. That's a risk, isn't it? Hit after hit. Maybe like Paul, you end up in prison. But for the sake of the lost, it's worth it. Endure everything for the sake of the lost, because maybe that person responds in faith. Maybe that person repents and turns to Jesus. Maybe that person crosses from death to eternal life because they hear the gospel and they put their faith in Jesus. And their deep eternal problem is solved because they've been brought into relationship with the eternal living God through the gospel. But to do that, to cross that pain line, we're going to need more than just goodwill. We're going to need more than, well, my minister told me I should share the gospel on a Sunday. We're going to need more than that. Because actually, to cross that pain line, we need to deal with our own hearts, our own apathy, our own lack of desire. We need the gospel to correct our hearts. We need to remember Jesus. We need to remember what he has done. We need to remember that he is risen, that he is Lord. We need to remember that we will get to spend eternity with him. And so we need to spend time asking God to so shape our hearts that it is like his heart, so that we will, like Jesus, love the lost. So that we will love our neighbor, so that we will have the... We need to ask God so that we will have the compassion that Jesus has. So we'll have that same love that Jesus has for our work colleague. So we'll have that same compassion that Jesus has for our family member who is lost. So that when we walk into Coles and we see strangers that we don't know, like Jesus was when he was walking from town to town, he had compassion. And he organized his disciples to go out and share the gospel. And that is only going to happen as our hearts are shaped by the gospel, as God works in our heart by his Spirit. Jim Elliot's heart was shaped by the gospel. Many of you may have heard the end of Jim Elliot's story, where Jim's wife, who from a worldly perspective had every reason to hate the Wa'arani people, instead chose to love them. Elizabeth Elliot returned to Ecuador to share God's love with the Wa'arani people, forgiving them, loving them, sharing the gospel with them. There is no worldly motivation that could encourage someone to do that. Her heart was shaped by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. She loved the lost. And do you know what happened? Many of the Wa'arani people placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, were saved, and will be with us in eternal glory. If we're to love Jesus and we want to share the gospel for his glory and love the lost as Jesus loved the lost, we need to be so captivated by Jesus, to have our hearts shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so let's pray that God will so shape our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you firstly for your love for us. Though we don't deserve it, Jesus came and he died so that we can be in a relationship with you. We praise you for that. And Lord, we ask that you would be at work in us by your Spirit, so that our hearts are continually being shaped and molded by the love that you have shown us in Jesus Christ, to reflect your grace and your truth to us. Lord, we pray that you will, where there is apathy or lack of desire to share the gospel in our hearts and minds, that you would remove that and replace it instead with your love. And we also pray that you will give us boldness to cross that pain line, to be willing to endure everything for the sake of sharing the gospel. And we ask, Lord, that many more people will come and put their faith in Jesus and be with you in eternal glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.